You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, weekends don't get much better than that past weekend. Saturday, Tulane goes up to West Point, manhandles Army with a final score of 42-33. Nowhere near a game that was nowhere near as close as the final outcome. LSU manhandles Utah State 42-6. Nicholls State manhandles Central Arkansas 34-14. And of course, Sunday, your New Orleans Saints, Jordan, I'm not sure I can say they manhandled Tampa Bay, but that really wasn't a game that was in any kind of jeopardy at the end of it, as Tampa Bay comes back and scores a garbage touchdown to make the final score 31-24. Teddy Bridgewater finally puts his detractors to bed and has the fans chanting, Teddy, Teddy, Teddy. Gus Kattengill away for on vacation. I'm Jay Hardgrave alongside of Jordan Kleber, and I got the feeling the phone lines are going to be lighting up today talking about the Saints' impressive victory yesterday over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you want to give us a call, 800-998-1003, you'll reach Joey D in our La Rose studios, and he will take care of you, get you on to us immediately. We've got a pretty good show lined up for you today. I know we're going to try to leave a lot of it open for you guys. Of course, Jordan, we always, as Monday, asking for your game ball, your pat on the back, and who needs to take a seat with the coach. If you want to give us a call and be on the air, call us at 800-998-1003. Jordan, how can they reach us if they want to hit us on Twitter?
So you can follow us on Twitter, and our handle is at ESPN Radio NOLA, and also on Instagram at ESPN Radio NOLA, all lowercase, for that Instagram.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable performance all around for the Saints yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater, 26 for 34, 314 yards, four touchdowns. He did have the one interception that kind of went off Alvin Kamara's back hip. He could have let him a little bit further. It was a little bit behind him, but still a ball that I think Alvin will tell you should have caught. Michael Thomas, 11 receptions for 182 and two touchdowns. Jared Cook actually had one of his better performances, even though he's still bothered by the drops. He four catches for 41 and finally got into the end zone as Rafael Esparza joins us here in the studios. Phone's already lining up. Let's go to our first caller, D. D, thanks for giving us a call. How you doing today? D, you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead, man. How'd you like that game?
Oh, yeah, man, it was a great game, man. I've been calling it pretty much every week since the season started, but especially since Teddy Bridgewater's been at the helm, and I've been defending him every week. I said just give him a couple of weeks to settle into that offense, and I said he'll be able to start pushing the ball down the field. I was in the stadium. It was really loud. That's probably why I sound like I'm sick. Yeah, the game was great. Marcus Davenport showed up. The defensive line was great. Shout out to Marshawn Lattimore for playing lockdown defense on arguably one of the top five receivers in the league. I take another salute to my LSU Tigers as well. It was just a good sports weekend for the state, man. So that's pretty much all I have to say today.
D, before you go, man, you were at the stadium. How loud was the chant for Teddy? Because I really like to hear that, because I think a lot of Teddy's maybe tentativeness was the fact that he didn't want to make mistakes in front of the fans. And I think that the fans went out and started chanting that. I think that's going to work volumes for his confidence. How loud was that chant inside that dome?
Yeah, it was a gradual crescendo. The first one was okay, but the second and third one were really, really loud. And you could see on the sideline, like the team, like all the teammates, all the Saints teammates reacting to it and, you know, hyping up the crowd to be louder. And I think, again, that's important that you said that is important for somebody's confidence to know that, you know, despite all the you know, the fair weather fans or the fans that are just fans for fans' sake that, you know, like to critique somebody. Just even like somebody, yeah, the guy that was sitting next to me, he said, oh, man, Teddy threw that ball too far behind that. Hit him right in his hands. He should have caught it. Alvin Kamara, the top back in the league, hit him in both his hands square. So if Drew would have threw it, it wouldn't have been as, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, like, you got to be fair across the board. So, yeah, that it's important to know that not only the fans are behind you, but that your teammates are rallying behind you, and they do give you that confidence to make those throws that you were maybe hesitant to throw because you don't want to make those mistakes.
Absolutely, and I'm right there with you, D. We appreciate the phone call. I'm right there with D. And listen, I've been defending Teddy Bridgewater. I've gotten a lot of heat for it. The bottom line is what I kept trying to explain to people is when you're a quarterback, your coach is going to give you some responsibilities, and it's a feeling out process. Sean Payton is trying to develop that trust with Teddy Bridgewater that he has developed over the 12 years he's been with Drew Brees. Okay? As a quarterback, your coach might allow you to go out there and change a play and check down at the line. He's going to allow you to do it once or twice. But when he sees you're checking into pass plays when you should be running the ball, he's going to take that responsibility away from you. Sean Payton in the last 2 weeks against Seattle and last week in the win, who do we beat last week? I'm drawing a complete blank already.
The Cowboys.
The Cowboys, thank you. How do I forgot that game is beyond me. But in that game, too, he was giving Teddy Bridgewater some things to do, and he wanted to see how Teddy executed it. As time goes on, Sean's gaining more and more confidence. You saw it in the game plan. When you're playing Seattle, you're playing on a wet field. You get a punt return for a touchdown. You get a scoop and score from your defense. And then people want to criticize Teddy for not taking chances. Why would you take a chance on a wet field with a 14-0 lead in one of the toughest stadiums to play in Seattle, with the loudest crowd noise? Why would you take chances? Why would Sean Payton be calling an aggressive game plan? You don't. That's not smart football. So the game plan was very conservative. You go out against Dallas. You know you've got a quality defense. You know you've got a return guy that could take it to the house. What happened last night, or yesterday in Tampa, we'll get into that with Devontae Harris at a different time. But you know that guy can take it to the house. You're not going to take a lot of chances. So Sean was kind of seeing what Teddy could do, gaining confidence in him. Now you're going to start seeing the playbook open up. You saw it with Tampa. Teddy executed it flawlessly. Yes, there was one pass that was a little bit behind Alvin Kamara. Should have caught it. Kamara will probably tell you that. But that was the only mistake that the kid made. When you can go up against, and I don't care what defense you're going up against, you go 26 for 34 for 314 with four touchdowns, that's a heck of a game. Jordan, what was your impressions of Teddy yesterday?
Well, something that I took out of it and when I was watching the game is like you saw Taysom Hill more involved in the game plan. And if you know anything about injuries and what that means for the Saints is that Drew Brees is very close to returning because Sean Payton wouldn't be putting Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater in the game for that many set of plays. You saw Saturday before the game on Sunday, Drew Brees was getting in some work with his hands throwing the ball at the practice facility. And go back to your question with just Teddy. I loved what I saw from him. He had so much more confidence. He knew where he wanted to go with the football. He made decisions when he wanted to run the ball instead of just being very hesitant at the line of scrimmage. So overall, four touchdowns against a red hot Tampa Bay defense. I mean that speaks volumes to the Saints defense and offense.
It really did. And as we bring in Rafael Esparza from Doc Sports, Rafael, I know you weren't the biggest fan of Teddy. Did anything you saw yesterday, did that change your opinion of him?
I was a big fan the past four games because I want quarterback controversy.
That's all you want. You don't care about anything else
but
controversy.
If he keeps on winning games and Drew Brees comes back, is it that easy? Is he just going to flip him out?
Yes. Yes, that's a no-brainer that when Drew – this everything that the Saints have done
– He's winning games.
He's winning games. I get it. But everything that the Saints have done is to give Drew his second Super Bowl trophy. And oh. that's the gameplay. So when Drew's ready, he's taking over. I know you want controversy.
Even that controversy, when a goalie's hot in hockey, you stick with the hot goalie. Remember Drew Bledsoe, red hot when he got hurt. And then he got hurt. Brady blew up, never got his job back.
72 Dolphins, only undefeated team. Bob Greasy goes down with an interview. The veteran Earl Morrow comes off the bench, leads them mostly through the regular season. Greasy comes back. They win the Super Bowl, go undefeated. A lot of people don't know that the 72 Dolphins had to do it with two different quarterbacks. This team's starting to mirror that a little bit, except we got the loss, so there won't be the pressure of the undefeated season. But, listen, there's a no-brainer. When Drew comes back, he's getting it.
The guy's bringing you down. At the end of the day, who doesn't matter who's behind center, who's that wide receiver, running back. When you go in a locker room at the end of the game, what's the most important thing is? A W.
Yes. And that's where I gained so much respect from Teddy, was when he said that. A lot of people were criticizing him. And he came out and basically said, I only care about W's. I don't care what my stats look like. I don't care if I don't throw the football. I just want to get a win. And this was the exact reason why the Saints offered him $7.5 million.
Oh, yeah.
In case Drew went down with an injury. They could rely on Teddy to get him through that stretch. Listen, I was the Teddy Bridgewater. I was called the Teddy Bridgewater's agent. And I didn't even see this team going undefeated while he was here. I thought they would have a winning record. But when they beat Seattle and Dallas, I thought they would split those games. When they walked away with two wins, I was like, okay, all bets are off.
So if Kyle Allen stays undefeated and Cam Newton's ready, you pulling Kyle Allen?
That's a different situation. Because I think that team's better with Kyle Allen than they are with Cam Newton.
I'm not saying Bridgewater's better than Drew Brees. I'm just saying he's bringing you W's that we didn't think he was going to get.
I would be much happier if Cam Newton was back quarterback in Carolina, because I think we could get away from them at that point and start to get a little bit of a cushion in the division. There's something wrong there with Cam Newton. But the Drew Brees situation, I think, is completely different. I think Drew walks right back.
Is it different because you guys are here in New Orleans living? Is that what the difference is?
No, it's Cam Newton is not about to retire. So the thing about
I totally agree with that. Totally agree.
I've been saying this for years. As soon as the Saints win the second Super Bowl, Drew's retired. I think he announces it on the stage when they hand him the trophy. If they win the trophy this year, I think Drew
he won't make the fans be so rejoiced up. They won a Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden on the stage, while the fans are celebrating, Drew Brees, I'm retiring.
Didn't Elway do it on the stage?
Elway did it.
I feel like it takes away from the whole Super Bowl. It's like, oh, we just lost one of our – because –
everybody knows.
It's not like Drew Brees is 20 and he's saying, hey, I won the Super Bowl, I'm out of here.
Because then it's like, oh, we just won the Super Bowl. Oh, we just lost our best quarterback, like the best quarterback the franchise has ever had.
Get ready whether we win the Super Bowl or not. That day is coming,
Jordan. Do it a few weeks later, so it's like we could have that high of a Super Bowl instead of saying, oh, we just lost our best quarterback that we ever had. Time to start searching now after we just won our Super Bowl. Thanks, Drew.
So next time you're in the locker room, you need to give Drew advice on that and tell him how to announce his retirement.
I'm not
going to
tell Drew Brees what to do.
He's dropping the mic on the stage.
I think he would. I really do. I think it would happen
on
the stage.
I don't think he's that kind
and
of
he
guy.
And he deserves to drop the mic on the stage after if that happens.
Yeah. For what he's done for this franchise.
For 100% what he's done for this city, drop the mic, deuces, I'm out.
You know, once again, you're a younger guy.
I don't think.
You weren't here for the days of the bags.
John Elway was very selfish when he did that.
So you're going to call Drew selfish?
No, I never said that. That's why I said John Elway was very selfish.
But you weren't here the days of the bags, Jordan, when we were horrible, when every Saints fan had to have a second favorite team because we weren't making the playoffs. So when the playoffs started, you better have a second favorite team to pull for. Nobody, your generation grew up as the Saints being good.
Yeah, there was. I remember when we were kind of in shambles. There was a little run.
Define kind of in shambles. 7-9.
No, it was no like before 06. I remember before 06. I was even though I was born in 98, I still remember a lot of those games.
So I'm trying to remember the time, and Rafael, you might be able to help me with this, when Hank Stram came in here, and it was with Archie Manning. That the team went 8-8, and that was the first time we didn't have a losing record. I want to say it was like 20 some odd years. It was Dick Nolan? I thought it was Hank Stram. I thought Hank Stram had an 8-8 record 1 year. And that was the first non-losing record. And Joey D, coming through with the information from me. Thank you, Joey. Said it was Dick Nolan and Archie Manning. I could have sworn it was Hank Stram. But that had to be Joey. Do you remember what year that was? Because that had to be about what?
1978.
78?
Yeah. It was right after the firing of...
There's only 14 years of losing records? I thought we were in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. Close.
Maybe it was in the 20s to get a
winning
record.
Dick Nolan came and went 7-9. His first year went 7-9, 8-8. Then we went 1-15. Pow. Hank Stram was hard.
1-15.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about, the 1-15 years and the 14 years of losing. You're acting like it's not that big of a deal when we went 7-9 for four straight years and everybody freaked out.
Sorry, Joey, but I mean, Jay, you could be the Browns.
Oh, wow. Joey. Shots fired, Joey.
I mean, the Browns did go 0-16. Wow. And the Lions went 0-16.
I said the Lions did too. Yeah,
and Tampa went 0-26.
Yeah, Jordan, who did they beat to get their first win?
The Saints in New Orleans.
Yes. Yep. That was when the bags came out.
And then I saw another record last night, with the Dallas and the Green Bay game. Is like the only team in the regular season to come back from a 28-point deficit was it Dallas against the Saints? I want to say it was either Dallas or Green Bay against the Saints.
I know Oakland did it on a Monday night.
Oakland Raiders did it one time.
Yeah, that was devastating because it was like, I think the first time we had been on Monday Night Football, I was a kid. And we jumped out to a huge lead, and it was like, oh, my God, you know, we're good. And then the Raiders came back and took the game from us. It was like, well.
Why are we talking about all these depressing days? I mean, the Saints are at the top of the NFL right now, only behind the New England Patriots.
That's a good point because last night, I don't know if you watched the game on Channel 6, they asked who was the NBC broadcast. They asked Tony Dungy and him who was the best team in the NFC. And, of course, Rodney Harrison said the Green Bay Packers, and Tony Dungy at least came forward and said the Saints are, you know, even without Drew Brees right now. And we talked about it Friday when we were out at City Park, Jordan, you and I, that – you got some help from Seattle this week, and the Saints now, with Drew Brees on the horizon coming back, are maybe looking at that number one seed and being in contention for that number one seed. But with every win that Teddy has, you got to believe that they're kind of pushing back that return date for Drew to make sure that it's completely healthy.
I was talking to a bunch of people yesterday, and whenever Teddy gets a win, even on this winning streak, that prolongs Drew's injury prolongs Drew's recovery time because now you're playing the Jaguars next game, and then you have two more games after that. Then you have
the Bears, then you've got the Cardinals.
Then you have your
winnable games.
And then you face Atlanta coming back at the bye. So, I mean, if you win two of the next three games, I mean, you could see Drew Brees coming back for Atlanta.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I know we're up against the break here, but I wouldn't be surprised if they bring Drew off the bench occasionally when he's ready. Maybe let him take a series here or there, see how that hand develops, see how he comes out of the game where he gets a few throws in and slowly easing back into contention. It'll be interesting to see how the Saints handle that going forward. Good problems to have that you got two quarterbacks that you can win with. We're going to take a quick break here. Let me set the show before we do that. Sharif Ishak on Channel 6 is going to join us at 12:30 to talk about the Saints. 1:15, we've got Chris Blair. And 2:15, we got the Graph on to preview the Saints. The Pelicans' first preseason game tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. They're on the road in Atlanta, and Graf's going to talk a little bit about that. And don't forget the King Firm sponsor of the Sports Hangover. If you've been injured in an accident, call the King. Do not trust the insurance companies. Make sure that you get everything that you're entitled to. 504-909-KING. That's the King Firm. Do not settle for substitutes. Get the best. The King Firm. 504-909-KING. We'll be right back on the Sports Hangover after this quick break on ESPN New Orleans, your flagship station for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
They say politics changes people, but don't tell that to John Bel Edwards. He's led our state through a budget crisis and natural disasters, expanded health care for working people, increased funding from preschool to college, and raised teacher pay for the first time in 10 years. While rural hospitals have closed all over the country, John Bell expanded Medicaid and kept everyone in Louisiana open. To help combat the opioid epidemic, he increased access to addiction treatment, and his work fighting human trafficking with Christian charities led to an invitation to meet with Pope Francis. Through it all, he served our families with honesty and integrity, never losing sight of what's important or compromising who he is. He's still John Bell, still one of us.
Paid for by the John Bell Edwards Campaign.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you, and have a blessed day.
Peter Don's Golf Carts has golf cart batteries on sale through October 31st. Great prices like the Trojan 6-volt Peter Den Black Box battery for $79 each. Plus sale prices on more Trojan Black Box batteries like the Trojan 6-volt T105 for $114. Check out the Trojan T1275 deep cycle battery for just $174. All batteries come with core exchange. Peter Don's Golf Carts in Houma also has the best prices in the area on golf carts and accessories.
Hello, friends. This is Donnie LaRio, a candidate for state representative. I am extremely proud of my Louisiana Cajun heritage and culture. We are going to lose it forever if we don't work together to save it. District 54 is surrounded by the largest estuary system in America. I will work to develop and support legislation that will affect and protect our seafood industries. From rebuilding the oyster and crabbing industries to working towards obtaining a fair market price for our shrimpers. On October 12th, please vote for Donnie LaRio, number 88, for state representative, District 54. Paid for by Donnie LaRille.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover alongside Jordan Kleber and Rafael Esparza from Doc Sports. I'm Jay Hardgrave filling in for Gus Kattengill. Gus will be back on Wednesday. Big point in that game I thought was maybe the first or second play of the game, and I want you guys' opinion of it. I thought I think it was the second play from scrimmage for Tampa Bay when Jameis Winston drops back and throws a pass intended for O.J. Howard. DeMario Davis is in coverage, and he almost picks it off. He does a juggling act off his helmet, and he almost picked it off. The very next play, he throws, even though the referee comes in and stops it on a delay of game penalty, Marcus Williams picks that ball off. I thought from that point on, and I know it was early in the game, but Jameis Winston kind of went into a shell, and you started to see bad Jameis coming out, where he just looked so unsure of himself, and he just looks like a quarterback that Saints defense got in his head, but once things start going bad for him, it starts snowballing out of control, and it's hard for him. He got off to a big lead with the Rams, and you saw they were able to hang 51 on the Rams last week. But this week with the Saints, 55 on the Rams. This week, as soon as something bad happens, it just looked like he went to shell and wasn't the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, his QBR was the same points per game I had my freshman year in high school, 16.6. That's not a good QPR when you're at New Orleans trying to get a W. He looked like old Jameis after that play, and through the whole second half, he looked scared the whole second half. He was very hesitant, didn't feel like he should run when he doubted he should run. He was pressing too bad. The Jameson looked like the old Jameson. He didn't look nothing like the Jameson we saw against the Rams, not even close.
You know, they always talk about that second game, back-to-back games on the road, and maybe that affected him. I don't know, but I want to attribute most of the success to that Saints defense, because this is the second week in a row we've seen that defense pretty much at full strength. I know Anzalone's still out, but you've had Kiko Alonso step into that role. But that defensive line just seems to be lights out right now.
Even with Marshawn Lattimore, he with his coverage against Amari Cooper against Dallas a week ago, and then this week against
Mike Evans, yeah, shut him out.
Mike Evans. So I mean, we were talking about that last Friday about the previous blood that those two had from that one game. I want to say a year or two ago when
Mike Evans. You mentioned it Friday.
So it's almost like Marshawn Lattimore got that revenge that he wanted. But also the Saints' offensive line for holding Shaq Barrett to getting like
that was another huge one.
Basically, was completely out the game. No, you never heard. One thing from any of the announcers that Shaq Barrett got a sack. I mean, 9 sacks in the first quarter of the season, and then holding him to virtually nothing at all. I mean, that's a great a tribute to the Saints offense.
You know, it was amazing you said that because I was watching that on the couch, and as that game was playing out, I was like, did Shaq Barrett go out with an injury? Because I haven't seen him. And right after I said that, a couple of plays later, they showed him on the Fox telecast that, you know, he is out there, but just he's not able to do anything with this offensive line. I thought this was the Saints' best performance to date. It was the most complete performance, kind of the same thing with LSU. It was the most complete performance, but I still saw a lot of problems. There's still some offensive line, you know, jumping, illegal procedure, holding, not anywhere near as bad as it has been in the past. But I constantly say this to people, that's the exact way you want to win a game. You don't want to play your perfect game. You still want to have Coach Payton still needs some things to yell about in the locker room and to get on people about in practice. You don't really want to be playing your best ball until November, December, right before the playoffs start.
I think the Saints defense has played well 3 straight games. Their defense played really good against Seattle. The score may not look like it, but they had made some really, really big key stops in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks to take control of that game and to get the W. So I think it's totally defense what's winning these games. I mean, they shut down the boys. They made Jamerson look like the old Jamerson last night. And I think right for me to say this, and you know me, Hargrave, I think right now the Saints are probably the best team in the NFC right now. I don't see any – I mean, yes, people say the Packers because what they did yesterday, but the Cowboys look totally different from the last 2 games than what we saw for the first 3 games. I have right now my power rankings, the Saints is the number one team in the NFC right now. And that's without Drew Brees. That's why I'm struggling. Yes, I know he's coming back, but W's, baby.
I hear what you're saying. I know the Saints are going to put Drew back in as soon as he's ready to go. But I think even if Drew, let's say Drew was 37, and we might be sitting here saying Drew's got about 3 more years to play, I would still say Drew goes back in. Even though I like Teddy, I think Teddy's the quarterback of the future. I think he is the guy to replace Drew Brees, and he will stay here after all of this is played out. I still think you've got to put Drew Brees back in there. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I agree, but for what I've seen coming out of the NFC, I mean, again, I've been saying, that, and you guys know me, I've been saying the AFC wins the Super Bowl until someone else can beat the Patriots, but what I've seen coming out of the NFC, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Bears, they all have issues, the Rams, they all have major issues, and again, the season's very young right now, but what I'm seeing right now, Saints are my 1, and I got maybe Rams probably 2. Maybe I like the way the Packers are playing. I like the way the Eagles have been playing. That's a big – the Eagles winning a couple weeks ago in Green Bay, that put a lot of momentum into them, so I wouldn't want to play them right now.
800-998-1003 if you want to give us a call. And, Jordan, how can they get us on Twitter?
At ESPN Radio New Orleans, and you could answer our question of the day. Just give us your pat on the back, the game ball, and who needs to have a seat next to Coach.
You know, it's interesting that you say who needs to have a seat with Coach because it was such a really good performance. The one guy really kind of surprised me, we mentioned in the first segment, it was Devontae Harris. I don't know what happened, but he just seems like he's lost his confidence all of a sudden. He dropped a couple of punts. They got one of them back, but, you know, he's the one that concerned me the most was when he has his hand up for the fair catch. One of the Tampa Bay gunners is coming down, and it's going to be close. And instead of him holding his ground and knowing if he hits me, it's a 15-yard penalty, he pulls away and lets the ball hit, and it bounces about 10 yards further down the field. I know this is a game of confidence, and you've got to have your confidence at all times, but this is, you know, Sean Payton in preseason kind of got on him because he would make a nice return, but then he would drop a ball, and Sean basically said, hey, he hasn't made the team yet. And I think this is what Sean was trying to get through to Devontae Harris. You got to be consistent. You can't give teams extra possessions. And that's one of the things that concerns me. Look, there's no more Marcus Sherrills. I know he was brought in to be that guy, and Harris beat him out. Sherrills is back in Minnesota returning punts for them. So you're not probably going to find a game-breaking guy. They've got to get Devontae Harris's confidence back, and they've got to get it back quick because that's a vital weapon for this team.
I was just going to say, per Mike Triplett on Twitter, he said that this Coach Sean Payton said that rookie kick returner, Dante Harris, has the traits to be a great returner in this league. So the Saints are going to work their tails off to clean up some of the ball control issues he's had thus far.
I mean, he's such a weapon. You really can't put him down on the bench. You've got to have that guy back there. You saw how he changed the game in Seattle. That return for the touchdown completely changed that game plan, because then you get the defensive score, and all of a sudden you can kind of have a more conservative game plan, and you hold on to win that game. But you've got to get him. You've got to get him straightened out.
But if he starts continue to muff the ball, can you trust him to be on the field?
I don't think Sean will if it continues to be a problem. I think he will go with a conservative, either a Taysom Hill.
That's what I'm thinking.
You still got Alvin Kamara. I know you don't want to put him at risk back there. You know, I know Alvin could be back there for, we're in a tight game. We really need a big play. Let's put Kamara back there for this one punt. But Austin Carr's a guy who you could put back there as a, you know, just a consistent fair catch. A lot of it's going to play on this offense. If this offense can score like it did against Tampa and be consistent like that, then you don't need the game-breaking punt return.
Well, they're playing against two road games that have teams with very good defense. Jacksonville still has a good defense and the Bears. So it's going to be very interesting if the Saints can continue to have a very good Bridgewater like they did Sunday and score some points, because it's going to be hard to score points against Jacksonville and the Bears.
I don't know about Jacksonville. I mean, after seeing what Christian McCaffrey did them, we've got a guy named Alvin Kamara that you got to believe if McCaffrey can do it, Kamara could do it. I feel pretty confident about Jacksonville. The game that scares me, where I think you need him, is the Bears, because that could be a defensive struggle, and a special team's return could decide that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad loss for the Bears in London. But again, if you're the Saints and you're going to Soldier Field, it probably might be bear weather because it's going to be later in the month. So if it's cold or windy, sleet or something, that's going to be a very ugly game.
That is. It's going to be a tough one. And I'm hoping we caught them early enough in the year that we're not going to get the snow and the sleet. But you still could have some cold weather, and you could have some windy weather, which could make it difficult throwing the football up there. We're up against the break. I've got Sharif Ishak from Channel 6 going to join us in the next segment. But Raphael and Jordan, the 12:45 segment, I want to go around the NFL because there's pretty much a storyline in every game, including our first NFL coach is gone. I don't know if everybody thought it was going to be him to be the first one fired.
He was the favorite to be first.
He was the favorite.
Yes, he was.
I thought there were other favorites. So we'll go around the NFL and kind of touch on every game, because just about every game has some kind of storyline that we need to talk about. But Sharif Ishak is going to join us in the next segment. And don't forget the King Firm sponsor of the Sports Hangover, 504-909-KING. If you've been injured in an accident, or maybe if you're an Atlanta Hawk player and you get injured by a Pelicans player dunking on you tonight, you might want to call the King Firm. 504-909-KING. Ring the King. They'll take care of you and make sure you get everything that's coming to you. Do not trust the insurance companies. Let a professional handle your case. The King Firm. Do not settle for substitutes. 504-909-KING. Quick break. When we come back, Sharif Ishak from Channel 6 on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM.
On October 18th, POV Magazine and The Settlement at Live Oak and Thibodeau are throwing the ultimate family-friendly tailgate to benefit the Bayou Country Children's Museum. The local vendor pop-up market will have food and boutique stocked to get you game day ready. Enjoy live music by DJ Rhett and Big Mike Fazy with Stellar Media, and come find me, Casey Gisler, in the ESPN Radio Game Zone for the best tailgating games. So mark your calendars for Friday, October 18th at 6 p.m. for the POV Pop-Up Thibodeau Tailgate at the Settlement at Live Oak. For more information, visit povpopup.com.
And now, smooth thoughts from Goodyear Auto Service.
As a technician, I love to see smooth rides drive by. Hey, man. because we offer lifetime balancing and rotation for every tire we sell. Looking smooth, Billy.
This has been Smooth Thoughts from Goodyear Auto Service. Now through October 13th, get up to $200 back by online or mail-in rebate on select sets of four Goodyear Eagle tires when you use your Goodyear credit card. To learn more, visit GoodyearAutoservice.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Lowe's has the supplies pros use most every day. And when the job demands more, we're stocked with the quantities needed for any size job. Savings you can count on. Because when you buy in bulk, you'll get 10% off all drywall and drywall accessories. Purchase 64 or more sheets of OSB and you'll also save 10%. Order ahead at LowesForPros.com and we'll have your order ready for pickup. Our pro loaders will be ready to load you up so you can get back to the job site. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. U.S. only.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to VetTix.org.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't
it? Man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Huge weekend on the football field for the state of Louisiana, and the Saints cap it off yesterday with their 31-24 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A game that really I don't think was as close as the final score kind of alludes to, because Tampa Bay gets that garbage touchdown late in the game. That game really was kind of out of reach for Tampa Bay in the second half as the Saints took control. And we welcome in Sharif Ishak from Channel 6, who has his coverage with Jim Mora, ex-coach, one of my favorites of all time. Sharif, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time today, Monday.
Oh, no problem, Jay. Hope all is well.
Everything's going well. Best performance for me so far this year with the New Orleans Saints. I thought that was the most complete performance. The defense, I thought, set the tone early in the game. To me, I was expecting a different Jameis Winston. When they hired Bruce Arians, he stood up and said, Jameis Winston is my guy. They put 55 on the Rams last week, and I was a little concerned about this game. But to me, the second play of the game, when DeMario Davis's guarding O.J. Howard almost comes up with an interception, they look like they got in Jameis's head quick right off the bat.
I mean, yeah, you could say a lot about what he did against, you know, the Rams the previous week, but it just goes to show you how good that defense is. And the Saints play really good defense, and they've gone against tougher opponents than Jameis Winston in the first four games of the season to get him ready for Jameis Winston. I mean, you see DeMario drop back into coverage. You see them getting to Jameis with just four down linemen. I mean, that's where it all starts, is up front, not having to really blitz much to get to him. I think they affected him a lot from start to finish of that ball game, and I think that's why he barely threw for over 200 yards. As they got up to it, they hit him up front, and anything he threw back to the secondary was just well covered by Lattimore, Apple, and the rest of the guys in the secondary.
You know, Sharif, last week it jumped off at the page at me when I watched the return of Sheldon Rankins against Dallas, the way they were able to manhandle Ezekiel Elliott. I thought Elliott was going to have a pretty good game. I thought the Saints would beat him, but I was stunned at how that defensive line stood up. Once again, you talked about it just now, four-man rush, and you're able to get pressure on Jameis Winston. Does Sheldon Rankins make that big of a difference on the Saints' defense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that guy eats up the middle of the defense. I mean, he is, I would say, the, you know, second or third most valuable, probably the third most valuable player on their team because of the reason that he can stop the run as well as both the quarterback. I mean, you have Cam and DeMario, I think, 1A, 1B, and then you have Sheldon. I mean, those three guys are very important, but Sheldon, he stops that run. I mean, 35 yards for Zeke Elliott the week against the Cowboys game last yesterday, they, you know, gave up about 94 yards total. I mean, that's just goes to show you that they stop the run first. You stop the run first, you're going to have teams struggling. If you're not balanced against the Saints defense, you have no chance to beat the Saints no matter what's going on offense. They can create turnovers. They can stop you on third down. The third down numbers were pretty good yesterday. And it starts with guys like Sheldon Cannon. You know, we can just go ahead and stay on the defensive line. What Marcus Davenport did yesterday and has done the last few weeks has been just outstanding. I mean, he had two sacks yesterday. He said after the game that there were some other chances he had and just missed on those chances, and that's what he needs to improve on. But he was a guy taking a lot of heat during the preseason. Hey, is he going to ever develop into that guy? They moved up to get in the first round, and so far he's creating tons of pressure, and he's starting to see those sack numbers come up. So that's another guy you got to watch out for here as the weeks go along. As he develops another move in his pass rush game, he's going to really be an elite pass rusher for the Saints.
You know, and I was a little bit concerned with Trey Hendrickson being out for this game, but you're right, Davenport stepped up, and another guy who showed flashes, who's just getting to be part of this team, is Carl Granderson. He showed some of the things that he could do. All of a sudden, you know, in preseason, every one of us around here was talking about the defensive line, that would maybe be a question mark, and all of a sudden, this defensive line is no longer a question mark, but are they one of the best defensive lines in the entire NFL?
Yeah, you could say that right now. I mean, their defensive line is ferocious, man. They know they can get after it with four people. To do what they did with just four is just amazing. Yeah, they can go. I would say they're probably the best, one of the better, if not the best, defensive lines. And yeah, you said it. I mean, during the preseason, during the training camp, we were like, man, how is the team going to do without Sheldon Rankins? I think they answered that question. And you know, the first three games, they did pretty well, in my opinion. And then now the last two games, it's been almost lights out from that front four. So I think they're only going to get better. I mean, you throw Granderson in the mix, and now Sheldon's getting close to being 100%, and he's already been playing well without being truly 100% part of the game plan. So I think he's only going to get better. And then Marcus Davenport, like I said, if he continues to develop some more moves in his pass rush game, man, those quarterback hurries are going to turn into quarterback sacks eventually.
Talking with Sharif Aishak from Channel 6 Sports. And Sharif, I want to flip it to the other side of the ball, because as a guy who is kind of under a little bit of pressure here in New Orleans trying to replace the legend, you know the old saying in sports, you don't want to be the guy that replaces the legend. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy who replaced the legend. But Teddy Bridgewater has stepped into that role of maybe being that guy who's the heir apparent, and he's the fans kind of on his butt a little bit early because it wasn't an aggressive game plan. It was kind of conservative. But Teddy really had a coming out party yesterday. You see the trust that Sean's starting to have in him. They opened up the offense. And now all of a sudden, with those shots that they're taking, this offense looks very dangerous.
Well, you felt that it was eventually going to happen. Under Sean Payton, there's no way that a quarterback isn't going to have a breakout game and start those notes, get his offense and get really into the mix of things and understand his game plan. I'm sure his game plan isn't the easiest, and I'm sure Sean had to like scale it back. I remember him saying his game plan might be a little complicated, so maybe it's to duplicate what he and Drew can do isn't really the easiest thing in the world. So he felt like maybe needed to change it up a little bit so it would be easier on Teddy. And hey, if he did, it worked against the Buccaneers. I mean, five plays of 20 or more yards. Yeah, he was in sync with Michael Thomas, which just goes to show you that contract was a pretty good contract because he's lived up to it so far. But he's been everyone's number one target. And I feel like those two guys have been locked in. And I think having Michael Thomas, he really helped the development of Teddy Bridgewater and Sean Payton's system. But I think he did a good job of going through his recent progressions yesterday. That was the number one thing I saw. He looked down the field. He looked left. He looked right. And then, you know, he finally would make a throw. He was really effective in the play-action game. He got good blocking. That's the number one thing, Jay, that the offensive line played much better yesterday than they did the week before against the Dallas Cowboys. I understand the Cowboys are a good defensive line, but they played much better yesterday. The first holding call, I believe, was until the second half, and it was on Jared Cook. So they played much better, and it showed for Teddy Bridgewater. I just really liked his poise and his ability to be comfortable in that offense yesterday to lock in on multiple different receivers.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the contract with Michael Thomas, because it was one of the things I wanted to get into today, because there was a lot of people saying, I can't believe they gave this guy this much money, a receiver. You can't pay him that much money. But anybody who had any questions, I think the questions were answered yesterday. You're not getting a lot of production from the other receivers. You're getting some from Jared Cook. He kind of had maybe his best game of the year, even though he still had a drop here or there. But you're getting Alvin Kamara, Josh Hills. Michael Thomas is really the only wide receiver on this roster that you're getting production from. You saw Marshawn Lattimore shut down Mike Evans yesterday. Didn't get a catch. It's almost impossible to stop Michael Thomas from not getting catches. I kind of speculated last year that Michael Thomas was on the path to being the best receiver in the entire league because of his mindset. Every other receiver, like Antonio Brown, they've got some kind of diva or they've got some kind of problems, you know, mentally or whatever. Thomas is just that level-headed kid. And to me, right now, he's the most unstoppable receiver in the league. Am I going overboard with that?
No, I think he's pretty unstoppable. I mean, 11 of 13 targets per caught. I mean, that's pretty good. I'd say, you know, to have what he did yesterday, people would think, well, he can only do it with Drew Brees. Nah, he did it. He's been doing it with Teddy Bridgewater, and that money has been worth it. I'd say he's probably the most dynamic receiver in the NFL right now. I mean, people want to say DeAndre Hopkins. He's pretty good, and some may say Julio Jones, but Julio Jones ain't getting it done right now. Number 13 for the Saints is truly getting it done, and if you just watch him and the way he runs his routes, the way he loses to a cornerback or a defensive back, the way he can break in and go out, He does a good job in his route running. And he's like one of the better route runners I've ever seen. And then they just make it work. I mean, he can get down the field. I mean, he may not be the fastest, but the guy has the hands, and he can certainly put his foot in the ground and make some cuts that can lose some cornerbacks. And I think that's where he's really effective. And, you know, after the game, Teddy Bridgewater said, hey, I can see it in his eyes. I can, you know, before the game in the locker room, I could see it in his eyes that, you know, he was ready to play today. And like whenever you see that fire in his eyes, that you just want to get him the ball, and that helps, you know, my game. So, man, Michael Thomas is something special. I mean, I understand the $100 million contract. It you know, today's day and age, that's what receivers are going for. But, man, he's pretty good.
Sharif, before I let you go, it's going to shock me if the Saints have a number one draft pick next year. I'm convinced that they're going to make a move and pick up somebody. And the one name that kind of jumped out at me this week was A.J. Green. I'd be shocked. Do you think the Saints go out and get a receiver and try to get some help from Michael Thomas, that might be the last piece that pushes his team over the top?
I wouldn't rule it out. But with A.J. Green, can he stay healthy? That's the number one thing. He hasn't played this year. Don't know when he's coming back. But that's the number one thing with him. Does he stay healthy? Can they make the money work? You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. Do they have enough money to bring him in? I'm sure A.J. Green wouldn't say no to it. I'm sure he's like, yeah, I'd like to play with Drew Brees down the line. I'd like to play with a team that's winning and has a chance to win a Super Bowl. I'd like the move, and you know, you heard the Stephon Diggs. I'm not sure how that would work, and I don't know if the Vikings would necessarily trade him to an NFC team, and that maybe they could face him again in the playoffs if they both make it to the playoffs. But A.J. Green wouldn't be bad. I thought Emmanuel Sanders maybe, but you know, it wouldn't rule it out, and it wouldn't hurt to add another guy who could help Michael Thomas. Just imagine that if they did get an A.J. Green and A.J. was healthy and it's both of those guys on the field, good luck. I mean, man. And if only Jared Cook is going to continue, like, building his confidence because of yesterday's game, I I would say don't rule it out, but I'd also say watch out for guys like Jared Cook after yesterday's game. I think that's really going to build his confidence.
Sharif, tell the folks what y'all got going on at Channel 6 today.
Man, what's not going on? It's a Florida week, man. We're going to have some coverage for Baton Rouge. Carly McCord's up there getting ready for that big game Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. More reaction from yesterday's big Saints win over the Buccaneers to get them to 4-1. That's so much going on. A lot of good things going on in the Southeast Louisiana sports. Tulane is also winning. We'll hear from them coming up tomorrow. But, hey, it's good for football around here. Everyone's winning.
Best year we've seen ever. That's Sharif Ishak from Channel 6 Sports. Sharif, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
No problem.
All right, when we come back, Rafael Esparza, Jordan, the intern, and I will go around the NFL and talk about what happened and how it affects the Saints. Quick break. Don't forget the first hour sponsored by the King Firm. 504-909-KING. Ring the King if you've been injured in an accident. Call a King. Do not settle for cheap substitutes. Make sure you get a professional that can handle your case and get you everything that is coming to you if you've been injured in an accident. 504-909-KING. We'll be right back after this quick break on ESPN New Orleans.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Trud Gisclair. After nearly 12 years of public service as a state representative, I am ready to continue my commitment to the people of our region, serving as your next state senator for District 20. As a senior member of the Natural Resources Committee, Ag Committee, Transportation, Highways, and Public Works Committee, and as the state's vice chairman of the Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs, these leadership experiences have prepared me to continue working for you as your next state senator. On October 12th, please vote for number 59, Jerry Trug Gisclair for Senator. Paid for by Jerry Gisclair Campaign.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
When your lawns need to be cut, demand a machine that's built to mow the distance. Gravely Mowers always answer the call. From sunrise to sundown since 1916. Zero turns that never quit. Intuitive, easy-to-use controls, and accommodating all-day riding comfort. Find the Gravely Mower to help you get the job done right. Neil's Small Engines with three locations, La Rose, Houma, and Thibodeau. 40 years strong. Call 985-693-3347. 985-693-3347.
You want to ride like a VIP? Then call Ray Ride's Luxury Limo Service, your best choice for transportation in Houma, Thibodeau, and Nola. Call Ray Ride's and let their skilled chauffeurs drive your party safely and in comfort to concerts, sporting events, Saints games, Pelican games, weddings, high school dances, conventions, or airport and cruise transfers. Whether you're planning your next great escape to the Big Easy and you need transportation for a large group or a small group, call or book online at rayrides.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Day baseball as the playoffs are in full swing. You don't need to go anywhere. We'll keep you updated as the Houston Astros in the bottom of the second, leading the Tampa Bay Rays trying to sweep them out. A Jose Altuve solo home run has the Astros up 1-0, bottom of the second. We'll keep you updated on that game as
scoring. Just give them the trophy now.
Are you ready to give them the trophy over the Dodgers?
Everyone's playing for second place.
That's going to be a heck of a matchup pitching-wise, though, with the Dodgers-Astros.
The Dodgers won't even make it to the championship game in the National League.
I still like that would be a dream matchup pitching-wise.
Oh, pitching-wise,
Pitching-wise, Astros-Dodgers. I think that's where we're on a collision course for. So let's go around the NFL real quick. Games that affect the Saints. Jaguars, our next opponent. Man, Christian McCaffrey had a field day on them. Carolina wins their third game with Kyle Allen. I still think this is a better team without Cam Newton. But the Jaguars, I think Saints should be able to handle them next week the way McCaffrey ran all over them. I think Alvin Kamara can have just as big of a day, and the Saints should be able to roll over the Jags.
It wasn't a complete rollover. They only lost by a touchdown. It's not like it was a 34-7 game. I mean, Jags.
No, but the Jags were chasing them all game.
Oh, I agree. They were chasing them, but it wasn't a complete dominance. I think Jacksonville's going to cause their defense could cause the Saints problems. And you're on the road, so you're not like in your backyard where you've had success last week or this week against Tampa. It's going to be interesting. I think Jacksonville keeps it close.
All right, I say we play rock, paper, and scissors to see who gets to be the backup quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. Steelers lose Mason Rudolph, who was in for Ben Roethlisberger. And this is my 5 minutes of bashing the NFL and Roger Goodell. How can the commissioner of the NFL get paid $30 million a year and the arena and the stadiums do not have a backup cart that can take a kid off when he has a concussion? Mason Rudolph gets annihilated. And they have to take his face mask off. He can't even stand up, but he's got to stand up and walk off the field because they don't have a backup card.
Well, I've been telling you guys this forever. The NFL is probably one of the worst run organizations I've seen. That late hit or quarterback late or the cost of Steelers the game for roughing the passer that the Ravens get to kick a field goal to tie it.
That was a terrible call.
That was horrible. What we are watching bad product on TV, but we're forced to fed that the NFL is the creme of the creme 365 days a year, but it's a bad product on a team, bad product on TV.
I was just surprised that he was able to go home that same day.
Yeah, to leave the hospital the same day. Yeah. I agree.
I was just like, well, this is dude.
If I need a medical if I need medical help, I'm going to Pittsburgh. I ain't staying here. Yeah.
Speaking of bad calls, pick which game you want to talk about next. Kansas City Colts last night. The Colts with a backup, basically entire defense, shuts down the Chiefs. The calls were horrible in that game.
Again, bad product on TV.
Dallas Green Bay was, I mean.
The Dak Prescott roughing the passer where he touched his helmet. And he proceeded to be a runner and run out of bounds. And they called a roughing the passer when he ran for another 10 yards. I don't understand.
Look, I thought it was funny watching Dallas lose, but did you see Jason Garrett get the unsportsmanlike conduct for slamming the challenge flag down? And then the ref just gives him the flag and gives him the look like, here, take this with you, and gives him a 15-yard penalty. The officiating is atrocious.
We really can't blame officiating because they're getting the rules from the league saying, hey, call this. So, yeah, I know people want to blame the refs, but it's the league itself. It's just, again, it's just a bad product on TV.
Jay Gruden, Redskins coach, gets fired. Who's the next one?
Oh, you guys are going to be laughing when the next coach guy Atlanta's gone. I think he's got to be the most disappointing.
That's where I was going.
The most disappointing team, I think, that between it's a toss-up, Chargers or Falcons. I say Falcons.
2:15, we've got Todd Graffanini, who you can't write a script for this. He's actually in Atlanta to call a game against the Hawks tonight, Pelicans' first preseason game. So Todd's getting a full dose of what's going on in Atlanta.
He's on the radio for the Pelicans.
He's going to join us at 2:15. I can't wait to interview him about what's going on in Atlanta. That does it for the first hour of the Sports Hangover. We want to thank the King Firm for being a sponsor of our show, The Sports Hangover. 504-KING, ring the King. If you've been in an accident, call the King Law Firm.